sports news, all in one place.
Reber playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, birds, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Julian Voss, bringing you with all your Illinois State coverage, national sports coverage, and so much more. We're back after a week off, but guys, this is the last show of the semester. It's crazy how far we've come. What is this, 14 weeks of shows? Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insane, and honestly, couldn't have wished to do it with two better guys than the two guys to my left and right. Fellas, how was your Thanksgiving? How was your break? Right before we go on yet another break.
I mean, Thanksgiving was incredible. Not that many people to celebrate this, but like, I do have divorced parents, so I got to eat twice. So like, I felt great. The stomach was big, and I ate phenomenal, and I'm thankful for both my grandparents for being incredible cooks because we had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great time too. My parents cooked, my sisters cooked, my aunts cooked. A lot of people cook in my family, so I had a lot of food, a lot of mac and cheese, so it was a really good break for me.
But what was the star of the plate, Julian?
Mac and cheese. Always.
Always the correct
always
answer.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, what was it for me? We do like these bohemian dumplings.
Bohemian
dumplings?
They're
really
dumplings?
Good. They're like, they're basically just pieces of bread, but like, it's just like the way that my grandparents make them.
Mm-hmm.
Put gravy all over them. They are phenomenal.
Don't let us get 15 minutes of Thanksgiving.
I know. We can do this all day.
All day.
And I mean, right before Thanksgiving, we're going to have some more plates to talk about when we come back from Christmas, too. Mm-hmm. So,
we'll be there.
Let's get into the actual important stuff. Let's get into some sports talk as there's been a lot going on in the last week and a half since we last spoke to you in terms of Illinois State athletics. We'll get to football later on in this segment, but we're going to start with the men's basketball team, who I guess you could say is in a bit of a rut right now. They went to the Virgin Islands over Thanksgiving break and went 1-2 during that little stretch, and we'll talk about all those games. But then last night, and we'll get to this as well later, an absolute heartbreaker in Nashville as they dropped their first conference game to Belmont, losing in overtime 99-97. But let's talk about this Paradise Jam first over Thanksgiving. They lost to McNeese in the opener, beat UAB, which I think is a pretty solid win. They only won by a point, but it was a great game. And then they ended up losing by 8 points to George Washington. So what are the vibes like right now in that Redbird locker room, and what are the vibes like just like around this team right now?
The vibes are they're knocking on the door, but they're just losing games they should not lose. That George Washington game should not have been a loss. They were just completely outplaying them in the first half. But the issue is they're just getting into foul trouble. And when Chase Walker gets into foul trouble, this team just does not have a true big man that can get to the paint. So they just kind of all panic around the perimeter, see who can get a shot up. And that's going to be the team's probably second biggest weakness heading into the rest of the season. But the number one thing is this team just does not have a facilitator. I hate to criticize a team I love deeply, but they're so set in stone that Dalton Banks is going to be the facilitator, and he's just not. He had 7 turnovers last night against Belmont, which is just inexcusable. And I would say it was either UAB or George Washington. He had around 5 or 6 as well. He's just a shooting guard that's being forced to play a position that is not his. And it's really struggling and hurting the Redbirds, the fact they do not have this distributor.
Yeah, to me, it seems like the Redbirds just don't really have a defensive presence right now. They don't really have anybody that could just protect the rim for every single game, because Brandon Lee is supposed to be that guy. He hasn't really been playing at all yet. And you don't really have another guy over 6'10" that's supposed to be your rim protector. So along with not having a facilitator, you don't have pretty much your facilitator on defense, also not having a guy in the middle.
I still think there is plenty of strengths for this team. I know we just kind of dogged on them right off the back, but these are all good teams. They haven't, outside like Trinity Christian, which like, let's be for real, it's not going to be a good matchup. Like, these past 4 games were all challenging games, and like, Illinois State, they've shown they have the ability to compete. It's just their small things you got to work on, but you got to remember, it's early on in the season. There's still a team I have a ton of faith in. Like, they got a bunch of role players, a bunch of guys that can get buckets. It's just they really need to figure out who's going to lead the dance. Like, you have 5 very talented athletes, but not one of them that can get them the ball when it's necessary. And when you just have 5 people that want to shoot the ball and none that create, that's just a massive problem.
I think the biggest thing too is right now, like, in terms of size, what you're talking about, we're talking about Brandon Lieb, but also Bowden Skumberg hasn't played yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of your big pickups this past offseason, the fact of getting him from North Dakota State. Correct me if
correct.
I'm wrong. Yes. Okay. And yeah, I just think that they need those two guys back, because it feels like, once again, as you were saying, those are two guys bigger than most players on the team, mm-hmm. and especially Lieb. I would love to get an update on what's going on with those two players as well, because we haven't heard Okay, go ahead.
Skunberg's going to be around Christmas.
Okay.
And Leib, I'm really not sure if he plays the rest of the season. Yeah. I think the hand injury is that serious.
I got one more thing. Why don't we play Cam Barnes at all?
It's a great question, Julian. I love Cameron Barnes to death. It's just the one issue is just there's just so many pieces already in this puzzle. It's kind of hard to figure where he fits into it. And just it's a player that's like oozing with potential. I think it's kind of the tinier things, like the basic fundamentals they're trying to work on. But I think it's be really similar to Johnny Kinzier because Pete, and he likes to play his older guys. And just Cameron Barnes will be being a little more unexperienced. I think he's got to prove it more in practice to get it. But when Cameron Barnes gets figured out, man, it's just going to be a whole new animal that's going to make Illinois State even better.
Does it feel like there's something weird about the rotations as well right now? I don't know if you would agree with that, Joey, but like when I watch the games, when I look back at the box scores, I look at how the minutes are distributed, and it just feels like the starting five is getting a lot of the work, and really it only feels like they're going to like three options off the bench at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think Peden is just a little bit confused because he has like a lot of good players that could come off the bench. He's just trying to get it all figured out. But it's just the problem with, like, a lot of these guards that he plays are just all scoring heavy. Then you look at players like Jordan Davis, who's going to bring you those defensive and rebounding minutes that you need, and he's just not getting any burn. So I think Peden has a little bit of a problem trying to figure out what his current rotation is going to be. And just, like, when Skunberg and Leib comes back, like, who's he going to take out of this rotation? Like, there's just a lot of questions surrounding it early on this season.
And, I mean, they're 8 games into the season. They're just now getting into conference play, too. So they still got time to figure out all the rotations and everything because it's very early on in the basketball season right now, too. But with that, I feel like, yes, you know your top guys too, but you have a lot of unknown guys coming into your team this year, and I feel like you just have to really try all them out to figure out your whole rotation in general.
The one big thing that I look at too, in terms of, this is what I think most confuses me about the rotations. And granted, Trinity, it was a win, and it's nothing, you know, you should boast on your resume when you're trying to make a March Madness tournament or whatever, but I think it's interesting that, you know, Jack Doherty broke a school record in that game, and I think he's had like 10 total minutes since then. That's what kind of confuses me. It's like the guy with the hot hand, even if it's not against like one of these high level Division I schools, don't you want to still get him burned and like try and get him in there?
Yes, you absolutely want to, because like when Chase Walker gets out of the game, normally they want to feed it to him. But when he's not in the game, they're just chucking it from three. So if that's gonna be the case, you want the best 3-point shooter, and at this point in the season, it is Jack Doherty.
And while with that, he's also like over 6'8" too. So you don't really see that often in this type of basketball conference where you have a tall guy that can shoot threes like that. Last guy we saw that was Hummerkaus, who went to Illinois right now. So this is really a guy that you need to start playing early on, because as years go by, I feel like he could be a key piece for the Redbirds team.
We always got to get some champagne propaganda in.
Yeah, we do.
But I will say the biggest, you kind of talked about them chucking up threes. I think if it's like their biggest weakness, but also like the best part about the team. Yesterday they shot 18 of 33. Like, I feel like that should win you almost every game, no?
Yes. It's just Belmont was also able to shoot may get a couple calls at the end that might have flipped how that game went. But we're not going to conspiracize on here. We just like to spit the facts.
Yeah, I think hopefully when we come back and we're talking about this team, because it felt like they were in a similar spot last year when we were looking back at, when we look back on last season, and it was like when we went on break, it's like it feels like the trains fell off the track, right? I hope that doesn't happen this time and they get some quality wins or even play well, because I know like St. Louis is coming up on the schedule as well.
I mean, to me too, this kind of reminds me of the volleyball team's early struggles too, because they were kind of the same way. A lot of new people, a lot of young people coming in. But as the season went by, they just started clicking so well. And now you're seeing this volleyball team now, and they're playing great. So I think this basketball team's going to have a good little turnaround as a new calendar year comes around. But it really starts off with Peden and his rotations.
Let's talk about football, as they got a huge win in the FCS playoffs the other day, beating Southeast Missouri, and managed to get a 35-27 win and move on to the next round in the FCS playoffs, where they will take on UC Davis in California this Saturday. I think the biggest takeaway from this game is, yes, the offense was clicking, but oh my goodness, that defense, 8 takeaways, I think it was. When we went into this year, the offense has been playing great of late, but the fact that it's like the defense is all clicking at once and everything's starting to come together. They're on this big win streak. Things are looking good right now, I feel like.
I think the defense is clicking, and I don't want to take away anything from him, because 8 takeaways is incredible. But it's not often you're going against a quarterback that throws the ball 85 times.
That's insane. I was going to say that's insane.
Yeah, so I don't think that's going to happen too often. And UC Davis is just a much bigger challenge. They got a running back. His name's Lan Larison. He leads the team in rushing yards and receiving yards. So they got this kind of Christian McCaffrey-esque player going on in their backfield. I think that's going to be a big test for the Redbirds.
I think the biggest part for the Redbirds coming up this next game is how their trenches can play and how their linebackers can read the guards on the other team, because the linebackers, honestly, with a running back like that, they're the key in the entire game because they're the leader of the defense. They're the ones making all the tackles, and if without them, the defense is not going to move anywhere. So besides the trenches itself, the linebackers right now really have to have a good game next week.
As we look ahead right now, as I said, UC Davis versus Illinois State at 3 p.m. on Saturday. On the other side of the bracket, it is South Dakota, the number 4 seed, against Tarleton State. South Dakota, one of the best teams in FCS this year. How do we feel about this team's prospects and potential chances to continue to make this run? I mean, shoot, they've won how many games in a row is it now? I'm trying to look back.
A whole lot.
It's been a lot.
I'm going to be the Debbie
Downer. The win streak is at 6 now, and they're 10-3 on the season.
Yeah, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer. I just think it ends Saturday. Like, I know it's going to be, like, very exciting. Like, oh, yeah, this team's going to go far. UC Davis is incredible on offense. It's like, I know the Redbirds have been able to score points. I don't think they're going band for band with UC Davis. I just think it's too high quality of a team, and I just think the Redbirds, their season ends on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful, too, that they make this win, too, but this is honestly the biggest test that they've had since North Dakota, and we saw last time what happened when they played them. So I really just want this team to just have their younger guys and everybody else just look really good in this game, because maybe next year they're going to look at this team and be like, okay, we look way better. Tommy's going to come back for another season. You got some more of your guys coming back next season. But hopefully. At the same time, hopefully, I mean, they still should come back no matter what.
I mean, Hunter Cimbrano is already in the transfer portal, and I'm not sure if Xavier Lloyd's going to stay here. I think Xavier Lloyd's going to get some D1 attention.
Yeah. Tommy Rittenhouse looked really good, though, on Saturday.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
he
has just been phenomenal, and I would assume he sticks around just because of how much faith this coaching staff has in him. Granted, they did bring in a quarterback this offseason, and it almost feels like that was a test for Tommy, right? And granted, like, you know, for Rubley, it probably hurt knowing that he didn't end up winning the job, but I would assume that Tommy sticks around just because of how much faith that this coaching staff has shown with him this entire time.
Yeah, because even when they brought in the D1 guy, it wasn't like he was the one starting off the bat. They're still giving Rittenhouse the chance, and Tommy Rittenhouse is without a doubt the story of the season, because like, we did not have much faith in his passing ability when it started, and now he's a passing quarterback. He's not a rush heavy quarterback, which is, I think, very impressive. It shows how far he's developed this season.
Yeah, I'd honestly say out of all athletes I've seen come through ISU, he's probably had the biggest turnaround since I've seen him from freshman year until now, because when he first came around, I remember Zach Ennick said he'd be the quarterback, and he would come in for only run plays. And in the beginning of this year too, he would only come in on running plays and options too. So him turning into a pocket passing quarterback, that type of progression is something that people don't really understand, because you're reading a whole defense and you're pretty much changing your whole entire way you play football.
As we said, this weekend, Illinois State will travel to UC Davis as they continue to look for success in the FCS playoffs, and we're rooting for them. We will have coverage based on how far they continue to go. Obviously, it gets a little weird with our break and everything like that. But if something shake out, if the Redbirds get a home game, we will have coverage for you here on WZND. But right now, the biggest deal is taking care of UC Davis and getting a win and continuing to move on. We love football. We're going to keep talking football. We're going to talk college football playoffs next up here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Julian Voss setting you up for what is one of the biggest weekends of the year in sports, and especially in college football. It is championship weekend this week, as the stakes are so high for so many different teams, some teams that are watching and the teams that are playing in the games as well. And I don't think there's ever been more fire under college football than under this 12-man playoff right now, but it is creating some beautiful chaos. And there are so many situations, so many scenarios this weekend where one team can be out, one team can be in. And I think we want to talk about that and just how crazy that this entire weekend can break down depending on the outcomes of some of these games.
Yeah, and let's talk about the most fun one, because like, we talk about good football in here. We don't really talk about Illinois Champaign. We talk about Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has a massive weekend, even though they're not going to play. It is a battle for the fifth seed between them and Penn State. And Penn State has a massive game against Oregon. And I know people are kind of nervous, like, oh, Notre Dame's not going to play. How are they going to jump to the five seed? Thankfully, Penn State's head coach is James Franklin, and James Franklin is 3-17 against top 10 teams. So for all the Fighting Irish out there, the cakewalk schedule is coming for us.
You already had it with NIU, and you lost to them.
Julian, I don't want to hear it. You're not in the playoffs. Enjoy the Cheez-It Bowl,
buddy. And you guys should be in a conference, too. I'm just going to keep saying that. I'm going to say that, too.
Let's not talk about the Irish. I would love to talk about the Irish this entire 15 minutes, but I feel like just because of the fact they're not in a conference championship, we already got that spot clinched up, and here's to me saying this too. Hopefully that 5 seed comes our way.
Dude,
because what we say
coming.
Earlier,
yeah, it's gonna be Arizona State and Boise State. No. Like, we're coming.
But that 5 seed, that's made for Notre Dame. Yeah. It's made for Notre Dame. All right, I want to take a look at this college football playoff bracket right now, as it is just absolute chaos. I feel like some teams you could already pencil in for some of the teams like not playing this weekend, like Indiana, Notre Dame. I would even go as far as say Tennessee and. That's about it. I think those are the only and of course like the 1 and 2 seeds like Oregon and Texas. I think and Ohio State, those are the teams that have really penciled their way into this college football playoff.
If Bama has 8 losses, they're gonna throw them in there no matter what.
We're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to
that's
the
team we gotta talk about.
Let's talk about the ACC first, as this is the conference that everyone's keeping an eye on right now. If the college football were to start today, SMU in their first year in the ACC would get a bye in the college football playoff as a 3 seed, but everything broke down this weekend because Miami ended up losing to Syracuse, which allowed Clemson, a 3-loss Clemson, to manage their way into the conference championship. And now if 3-loss Clemson beats SMU on Saturday, Clemson is going to the college football playoff.
That's just crazy. I don't know how Dabo Sweeney keeps pulling off this voodoo magic, but they're here. But let's talk about the more fun part. Let's say SMU loses that game. Who are you putting in, SMU or Bama?
Ugh. I know who I'd want to put in, but I know who they're going to put in.
Who say who you want, Julian?
I don't
want
to see – I like seeing some difference in college football. I'd rather see SMU in it, but – you know, with Bama being who they are, no matter who their coach is, no matter who's on their team, they're going to have the money to let the NCAA just let them in no matter what.
It's just, I don't know how you can reward this Bama team. I mean, 3 points against Oklahoma, a loss to Vanderbilt. Like, for a team that has that high of a quality and that standard, that's just such a joke. And if you really let them in, then it's like, they just kind of know they're going to get in every season because, like, it really does not get much worse for Bama.
There's, like, in my head, Bama hasn't built themselves the resume to make the college football playoff this year. Mm-hmm. But if we are being realistic here and saying who are the best 12 teams in the nation right now, I think we're putting Bama in the top 12. I think we're putting Ole Miss in the top 12. I think we're putting South Carolina in the top 12, just the way that it is. But once again, this college football playoff, as it's always been since they got rid of just the number 1 and 2 teams play each other in the championship, it's always been about building that resume and trying to prove that you are worth it to make the college football playoff. Now, the big debate here is, why is a 3-loss Bama jumping a 2-loss Miami after Miami lost? And I was talking to Joey before the show, and I want to bring this up. There's this whole situation where who has the better resume? And you look at the games and the way it's gone. Because if we're judging it based off the past 3 weeks instead of the entire season, Miami, I still think, deserves it over Alabama, right or wrong?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Miami has been so consistent throughout the whole year, except for these last few weeks, but you're going to have a fall off like that at some point during the season.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be able to be perfect unless your team, like, let's say Oregon, who's been perfect this year. But, like, they've been such a good team throughout the entire year, and Cam Ward is a good quarterback that's going to lead a team throughout the playoffs. And if you look at a team like FSU, you took them out because their quarterback was bad.
Yeah.
You're gonna take this team out because their quarterback's good? That doesn't make any sense.
And for like teams like Miami and Alabama, I don't like it's not really trying to be perfect. You want to be perfect. You want to go 12-0. But really, like when we look at this college football playoff right now, I think the only teams that you can have arguments for that needed everything to shake out the way that it ends up, or first of all, Boise State needs to be perfect because that's just how 100%. It is with their conference. And I would say the only other team that and they kind of got lucky with the way that things shook out was Notre Dame. They basically need to be perfect every year too, depending on who their loss is. Obviously this year was NIU, but nonetheless, it's frustrating that Alabama, this whole Alabama and Miami debate, and it doesn't make sense to me how a Bama team that beat Auburn that's not good this year somehow manages to jump a Miami team that has 2 losses on the season. One of them is to a, I would say, a very good Syracuse team led by Kyle McCord. Mm-hmm. They're not college football playoff good, but they're good enough in the ACC. And then a Georgia Tech team who just went to 8 overtimes with Georgia, who people are projecting to potentially be the 2 seed in this year's college football playoff.
And so first off, before I say the statement, I just want to say I do not think Bama should be in, but I like to give the listeners the arguments for both sides so I can understand. So this is going to be for who's going to be Notre Dame matchup, Ben. Yeah. Would you rather play Miami or Alabama?
Miami in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why Alabama gets this bias, is there's a more fear team that kind of build up that resume throughout the year. I think that's why they're just unfortunately getting this odd. But yeah, I would also stress Alabama more than Miami. And I just kind of think that's why they're getting the edge, even though it's not really deserved.
I kind of have a different team that's in this playoffs that I'm still kind of iffy on them being in it. How do you guys feel about Indiana?
You know what? And this is what I always look back. When this 12-man playoff shook up and these power conferences were built, like the SEC is and like how the Big Ten is now, I feel like we're going to see this every year now where it's like one team that doesn't have a resume but manages to win all their games just because of how the schedule shakes up. Because in all reality, Indiana, while they've had solid wins, like I think you could count like the Michigan one after they beat Ohio State, the Michigan win, they beat Illinois, correct?
Yeah.
No, they didn't play
Illinois. Okay, they didn't play Illinois. Washington earlier in the season. I think those were solid wins for the time, and it doesn't look as good now. But I just think with this bigger schedule, there's going to be a team in the SEC or the Big Ten where it's like, okay, their schedule doesn't compare to what it might be of an Ohio State or an Alabama. And Indiana this year just kind of got the luck of the draw. But I think that's going to help them going forward because they're going to get recruits after this year. Signetti, I think, is one of the best coaches in college football, no doubt. But I do agree with you. They're probably not one of the best 12 teams in the country, but I do think they deserve to be in this.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't really just knock someone for winning games they should win. Like, I feel like that's kind of unfair. Like, Indiana, they got the schedule they needed, and they won the games. They did what they needed to. Was it not the strongest competition? That's correct. But, hey, you can't knock them for winning games. I feel like that would be a ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just tough because, like you said, the schedule just shaped them out to win games, but at the end of the day, who would have thought that Indiana would be this good in the first place?
I know.
Because Signetti totally switched around this whole program, pretty much the whole, I would say almost the whole school, because they used to have nobody go to their football games. No. Nobody really do anything except for basketball there. But now you see their football team is pretty much better than their basketball team. And with that culture changing and everything like that, this team has obviously made a huge change. I don't think they're one of the top 12 teams, but it would be very difficult to take them out when they've had this type of year, unless they somehow lost one of these last couple of weeks.
Looking over this college football playoff, and rightfully they do deserve to be in this top 12 just based on how the college football playoff shakes up. But it's crazy to me that Boise State, and this not a bad thing, but it's just crazy how it all shook up for Boise State to more than likely, as long as they beat UNLV, get a bye in this year's college football playoff. It's just kind of how the SEC and Big 12 just broke down in the last couple weeks, and especially the Big 12. I mean, when we were talking a couple weeks ago, we were like, yeah, it's shaping up to be Colorado's conference. Like, they can win this. And now it's like, Arizona State or Iowa State is going to end up getting that spot? Like, it's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, don't we just love college football? It's just chaos always bound to ensue. This has been one of the craziest seasons. And that's why I like the playoffs been a good thing, because you get stories you don't expect, and you get a fun story led by a guy who should win the Heisman, but is not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that. I was going to drop the whole, like, crazy take right there. But I think Genty, just based on this team being the 4 seed in the college football playoff, that man deserves a Heisman. A totally different conversation we should have a different time. But this team just totally just came out of nowhere. And Genty pretty much came out of nowhere, too. And seeing them this far, and I think they're probably going to lose the first game they play. But I think that's just a huge stepping stone for smaller teams and smaller conferences to still be able to say, hey, we could make the playoffs no matter if we have a great year just like this.
I think Boise State could beat Penn State. I'm just going to be for real.
Really?
Penn State does not win meaningful games. I'm going to be honest, guys. I've been itching. I'm, like, shaking. Can we please make fun of Ohio State?
Go ahead.
I think Ryan Day is just such a loser. Like, it blows my mind. We talk about Penn State not being able to win meaningful games. Ryan Day just chokes when it matters most. Like, this is the worst Michigan team we have seen in such a long time. And you got them at home, final game to make a statement, and you lose?
Yeah.
Like, that is a joke. And that's why, here's my controversial take. I think they're better than a lot of these teams in the playoffs, but Ohio State and Penn State are the teams I have the least amount of confidence with heading into the playoffs, just because with these other teams, you kind of have uncertainty with how they're going to play in big games. With Ohio State and Penn State, I know they're going to fold. They're just going to do bad, and so, like, I'm a denier for them.
Going back to something we said earlier, though, in terms of Penn State, and we could go on this Ohio State train as well before we wrap this up. But Penn State, also going back to that Indiana argument, Penn State really didn't have that great of a schedule either besides Oregon. But you could say the same thing about Indiana. Like, really the only tough team on their schedule this year was Ohio State. So it's just kind of how it shakes up every year in college football. But, I can't believe – I would fire Ryan Day immediately.
No, I agree. Like, yes. I don't care if the playoffs is 2 weeks away, because if you're going to go in with them, you know you're not going to win. Like, it's just kind of a waste. Like, I'd rather get an interim instead of Ryan Day.
I saw a – massive Buckeye fan on Twitter say that he would love to lose in the first round of the playoffs just so Ryan Day gets fired.
That's so sad to say.
Isn't it crazy? Like, you legitimately have a national championship title up this season, but it's just the fact of they are so fed up with him. He can't win the Michigan game, which is for Ohio State fans, that's just as important as winning the national championship. But I mean, bigger than all of it, it's just like, I can't believe that he said for the future of this program, which I honestly agree with, he'd rather just lose in the first round, get Ryan Day fired, and get a new coach.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Ohio State was going to win it in the beginning of the year just based on their talent. But seeing how much coaching really impacts this team, I could really see them losing first round like that. I mean, it's just really tough to see what this team's going to do a few months from now.
Okay, let's break down these championship games. We'll all go around, say our pick. We're going to skip Tulane and Army. I think there might be a path for them, but it's very, very, very hard for either of these teams to make it. UNLV, Boise State.
I'm riding with Boise State.
Boise State.
Yeah, me too. Iowa State, Arizona State. This is a coin flip for me.
Yeah, I'm expecting chaos this whole weekend, so I'm going to roll with Iowa State.
I was thinking that same exact thing. I think they might be able to kick out Arizona State, so I'm going to go with Iowa State too.
Yeah, I'm going to go Iowa State just because of the fact that they were playing so well early in the season, and it's kind of fell apart a little bit, but they managed to find themselves in this game. Huge game. Georgia and Texas. Who's getting the bye?
Yeah, so Texas mascot is found is actually banned from the playoffs in the SEC championship. So
Bevo?
Bevo is banned, so I'm rolling with Georgia.
He tried to kill, what's the dog?
No, he should have been sitting out there rolling the red, bro. That's his fault.
Tried to kill the dog a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Georgia. I think after having a bad game pretty much against Georgia Tech, they're gonna come out firing this week, so I'm gonna go Georgia.
I'm gonna say Texas gets their revenge on them from earlier in the season. I think they'll get the win, and I really liked what I saw out of them last week against Texas A&M. Penn State, Oregon, I feel like we're all going in the same direction.
Yeah, it's Oregon.
Here.
Penn State does not win meaningful games. Go Irish.
Oregon might win by 3 scores, honestly.
And I think the game that can cause the most chaos in the playoffs, SMU, Clemson.
I'm going to roll with SMU. I think they're electric on offense, and I think they're going to cause Clemson some problems.
Yeah, give me SMU. I just want to see somebody different win it. I don't 100%. Like Clemson. I never liked Clemson, never liked Dabo Sweeney, so let me see SMU.
I just remember people talking about SMU at the beginning of the year, and I was like, really? Like, you really think they're that fun? Like, they could be good this year. They have proven me wrong, and I'm going to ride with them. But if they lose, I cannot even imagine what Sunday is going to look like when they have to make these picks, because there is going to be a lot of controversy to begin with. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to be talking Chicago Bears and the rest of the NFL. Stay right here. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, ready to talk some NFL football for you, but more specifically, the news that broke on Friday morning. It was Black Friday last week for the Chicago Bears as they went shopping, or more so selling, as they got rid of their head coach of 2.5 seasons, Matt Eberflus. The devil is gone. We have finally won. We moved on from Matt Eberflus, but the state of the Bears still very much in question as we continue to move forward into the season with Thomas Brown as the interim head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I don't really care. The season's a win in my eyes, because if you're just going to keep rolling with Eberflus, nothing was going to get better. But the vibes are back. Brisker is somehow back in practice the second Eberflus is done. Conspiracy theory, I don't know, but the vibes are here. The team has been dying for this. The fans have been dying for this. The McCaskies and Poles, they gave him every chance in the world, and he just kept finding new opportunities to lose games. In all honesty, it was kind of impressive how he found ways to lose. That's one of the most impressive tank jobs I've seen in the history of the sport.
Yeah, I think what really did it was then losing on national television on Thanksgiving in the worst way possible. Mm-hmm. But like with that, there's no reason why he should have been the coach in the first place this season. I know we talked about that for weeks on. But now is really probably the most important time that the Bears have had in the last decade. Finding this new head coach I think you found your quarterback now. I think we could say that. But the most important time right now is finding your head coach. And I really hope I could see some good out of Thomas Brown this week.
I mean, dude, the pressure is huge. Like, you can probably argue this is the most pressure the Bears have had in such a long time because you really don't get a second chance. If you get this coach wrong and Caleb fails to develop, you kind of fail. And, like, this is the best opportunity you have. So all eyes will be on the Bears this offseason. And as Kevin Warren kind of said, not to gas him up, this is the most coveted job in the sport right now.
Yeah, it 100% is, just because of the fact of Caleb Williams and I think the rest of the team around it. We know that this team is much better than their record says. I mean, shoot, you look at the last, I mean, three of their losses, is most of it is on coaching just because of how the game ended up breaking down. And if you take those three losses, turn them into wins, what are we looking at right now?
Seven and six.
And that doesn't even include the games that were so winnable, but whatever happened. I mean, yeah, this is, it's a pivotal moment in the Bears franchise because once again, you have to get this one right. You've put so much faith in Ryan Poles. And, you know, there's a big debate of, like, because obviously they fired Nagy and, They fired Nagy and, I can't think of the old GM's name. Pace and Nagy at the same time. And now they're firing the coach in the middle of a GM's tenure. And people, like, kind of had a debate of, was Poles really a huge say in hiring Eberflus? I feel like now it's like Poles, and more specifically, I think Kevin Warren as well, they need to get this one right because, you know, you're putting the stake of not only your franchise in the future and this future that you were putting so much into with Caleb Williams at quarterback. I mean, they just need to win this one.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you guys a big question. Like, what should the Bears do this offseason? Like, who should they bring in?
I think right now you're giving Thomas Brown a test run for a reason. And if he really changes the team around, if you go, I say they need to win at least four of these next games to make him the head coach. But I've seen a lot of reports that they could trade for a head coach. I don't know how much I would like that because you're probably giving up a first round pick if you do that. But you gotta aim as high as possible for this next head coach. I know Ben Johnson's been talked about, but I don't really know how much of a team leader he is versus an offensive coordinator. I know it's a huge hot take. I think he'd still be a pretty good head coach, but I don't know how great he would be.
That's what my biggest thing is. I want a guy that just leads. You know, I see these clips of Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin is a phenomenal coach. But in all reality, Tomlin has relied on coordinators. He's obviously a defensive guy, but he's relied on coordinators all these years. But it's just the fact that he's a leader of men. There was a clip of from Hard Knocks. They're doing the in-season Hard Knocks, and it was one of their like second-year linebackers. He was like, You have to beat Zeus this week. He was calling Zeus, referring to Orlando Brown. And sure enough, the biggest play of the game on the strip sack fumble, the linebacker was able to break Orlando Brown and get the strip sack fumble on Lamar Jackson. And that's just what I want. I want that. And when I think of that in terms of who's available, my biggest, honestly, I think the guy I want the most, and Ben Johnson can be talked about, I don't know if it's like realistic, but the guy I want the most is Mike Vrabel. I don't know why. There's just something. I think you could pair two really, or an offensive coordinator that's very solid with him, because he would want, an offensive coordinator would want to come play for him. I think Mike Vrabel would be perfect for this Bears job.
I mean, I love Vrabel as well, because, like, you look at those Tennessee teams that were at one point the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
They were not the strongest. They were led by Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
Like, yeah, they had Derrick Henry and there was A.J. Brown on these teams, but they were not the strongest at all. Like, were they playoff contenders? Yes. But should they have ever been the number one seed in the AFC? Absolutely not. That's because of a head coach by Vrabel who's able to make the right challenges, able to get the right schemes, and as you said, be a leader and motivate those guys. Because I look at some of these reports and I see, like, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
if that's our head coach, I would be devastated. I wouldn't mind Cliff. I like him as a coordinator. But we saw what he did in Arizona, and it was a disaster, and it's not going to be any better. But if we brought him in as an OC, I'd be over the moon. But if he is our guy as head coach, I think, as Julian said, that's the worst thing they can do.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, that's not really that much of a leader versus just a play designer. And I know he has those relations with Caleb and everything like that, but he's not really that guy that can go up to your team, and when they're messing up, he could just go over there and just set them all into place. I think Vrabel's that guy that does that, and I agree with both of you that he's probably the top guy on the list right now. But if you're going a defensive head coach like that, like we've gone through the last three coaches like that with, you have to hit on your offensive coordinator, but I don't know if they could trust them to do that at the same time.
Yeah, we can go back and forth with who the coach is, and I think there is a very valid argument for Ben Johnson and what he'd be able to do with this offense. And I think the biggest thing about him, too, is I think he can be a leader. I mean, you could tell that the Lions players love him to begin with, but it's the fact that he's coming from the king of being a leader of men, and that's Dan Campbell. Like, he was mm-hmm. able to see that for the last however many years that Ben Johnson's been the OC there. So in my eyes, it's like, it almost, I'm almost like Vrabel or Ben Johnson or bust. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand the potential of like maybe like an Aaron Glenn or something from the Detroit Lions, or Joe Brady from the Buffalo Bills, but it's just like, as we said, this is the most coveted job in the NFL. There's not going to be many openings that are really like attractive, I think, this offseason based on their situation. This is one of the best situations to be in the NFL just based on the roster itself.
And Julian kind of touched on this a little bit, so like, I want to go back to it because like, we have heard the Kyle Shanahan rumors, and what he has done for that San Francisco team is incredible. Depending on the trade value, is that something the Bears need to like seriously look into? Because Kyle Shanahan is a proven head coach.
Yes, but I wouldn't give up a first round pick for a head coach because that's what they had to do for Sean Payton. That's what we've seen in the past. I wouldn't do it for a head coach like that. But unless you really, really,
with
really
the Broncos,
yeah, I would say the Broncos should not be this good. Like, yeah, who would have thought Bo Nix would have taken these leaps?
Yeah, but that's also putting back a year or 2 years of trenches that you're going to build through with Caleb.
At this point, who even knows if they're going to build through the trench? I know, like,
that's the obvious
everything that Poles has said to us, and I actually still believe in Ryan Poles. I believe in what he's building. I think he's mostly made good decisions.
Chase
mostly. Pitbull. Yes. But, like, I look at it, and, like, his biggest thing when he came in his press conference, like, we're going to take the NFC North back and run with it. Where literally all three of his years were going to be in last place in the NFC North. What was the other one? We're going to build this team through the trenches. And what's our biggest weakness right now?
trenches.
And they've had the opportunity to draft it. Do I hate the Darnell Wright pick? No. But, like, Jalen Carter was also there at the same time. Jalen Carter's turned into one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So it's just like, I would love to get a pass rusher in the draft or an offensive lineman, and I hope that's what they do, but I wouldn't pass up the opportunity to get one of the best coaches in the NFL if it's just one first round pick.
Yeah, and I know you guys are huge Notre Dame guys, and I've seen
this is crazy about your boy.
How do you feel about Freeman?
I would I'd be so for real. I would be very upset for both sides if that happened. Freeman needs to stay in South Bend. They've built something incredible, and these college coaches do not always have the most success in the NFL.
I think this is what I see in my mind when he's like, oh, I'm going to leave for the NFL. Or, like, just whoever threw this, it had to have been his agent just, like, threw this. And was like, hey, we're going to say this. You're going to get your extension with Notre Dame. But we're just going to say, now that this Bears job's open and it's super close and there's a lot of Notre Dame connections to Chicago, we're just going to throw this pipe bomb and just say, like, hey, maybe Marcus Freeman is an option. Just so Notre Dame's like, okay, we gotta ramp up and get this extension.
That's valid.
I don't know. It's really like a great question, and it just kind of goes back to, I mean, let's talk about this actually. In all this past 4 weeks, 6 weeks, however many games they've lost in a row this week, I think there's one positive thing that you can take away from this all, and it is, I think Caleb Williams is 100% the guy. Like, 100%.
I mean, if you think this is a debate, like, I'm going to be disrespectful. You're dumb. You don't know ball. Like, mm-hmm. If you really think Caleb Williams isn't the guy, you need to open your eyes. You got to be for real. Because Caleb Williams has led, like, 3 game-winning drives that didn't win the game. Like, mm-hmm. It's just really ridiculous at this rate. And just the talent's there. Caleb Williams makes throws other guys can't make. Like, the throw on the run in Detroit where, like, he hits it to DeAndre Swift when he just should not have. Like, when has a Bears quarterback ever done that?
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun to watch. He's the guy, and Bears fans are Bears deniers. Gotta stop trying to kill his confidence.
There is one quarterback in the NFL that has managed to throw for 3 touchdown passes against the Detroit Lions this season.
Who is it, Ben?
It is Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And, I mean, the game last week was awesome to watch. It was a slow start, but I look back to that Minnesota game, man. That game-winning drive, the ball that he just slung into DJ Moore's hands, it was like a 35-yard gain across the field. It was like I was – and the DeAndre Swift play was also phenomenal as well. But that was like when he made that play, I mean, what, there was like 30 seconds on the clock. That was guts.
I mean, I think the biggest one is the Green Bay one. You know, we haven't beat them in 10 games, and he has a 10-game field goal range. They get in 3rd and long. He hits an incredible throw to Roman Dunze to make it 4th and short, and then just makes one of the – like. Craziest throw is like, I wouldn't have the confidence to start to one-on-one on Rome. Rome makes a play, and then he gets another one to Keenan Allen, and then they just get the field goal block. Like, just Caleb Williams just shown, he like doesn't just show up to win games. He shows up when the brights are the lightest, and it's just, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about Caleb that we've seen, I think he's just fearless. Like, he doesn't take any of the pressure. He's like, just goes out there and just plays his own game. And I think that honestly goes down to the coaching and Thomas Brown just mainly being like, I want you to go be an athlete and go be the type of player that you want to be. And not just be like more scared, more passive with his throws, because there's been a lot of talks that Eberflus was more passive with him and didn't want him to throw interceptions. And now Thomas Brown's out there and telling him, go out and throw the ball and be Superman like he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And my only worry about Caleb right now is his health and him staying healthy throughout the rest of the season, because the Lions game kind of scared me a couple of times because it looked like he almost blew out both of his ACLs.
That was on him, though.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's just got to be smart with his plays. He can't sneak it and try to go back inbounds after going out of bounds. And the O-line still has to protect him, because I think the O-line is getting a little bit better as the season's gone by.
And he's getting the ball out quicker. That's also like the biggest thing about it, too, is like when we look back on it earlier in the season, it was like it was nice that he looked at all of his options, and he still does, but it's just the fact of the matter that he is getting that ball out quick as possible, and it is – I mean, it's been huge for this Bears offense, and this Bears offense, even though they haven't won under Thomas Brown as the OC and now going to be the head coach, it still doesn't really matter because he is – this offense looks light years better, and I cannot believe that Shane Waldron had all this ammunition and just didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
I mean, did the same thing in Seattle.
Alright, so before we go move on to pick six, one last thing that I want to ask you guys, what is like your goal, or what do you want to feel somewhat okay about this season?
Somewhat okay about this season is I just want to keep losing. I'm going to be so for real. I want the best draft pick possible.
I mean, yeah, it's sad to say, but you need to keep losing, but have your development of your rookies as good as possible. I want to see Rome get the ball way more than he has.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that. My biggest thing is I actually want them to win. I don't care how high that first round pick is. I want them to win. And even if it means that maybe Thomas Brown's the head coach, that's fine. But I'm so tired of hearing this narrative of, it's okay if we lose as long as the quarterback plays well. I've heard that the last three times, and I'm done hearing that. I want a guy that comes in and is just winning ball games for us, and that's what I'm hoping for. So we'll see. It'll be fine if they end up losing out, and it's like, all right, we got the number three draft pick. Like, that's fine, too. But it's just in my heart of hearts, I'm like, all right, let's see this guy win.
Yeah, you're better mentality than I am.
I'd like to see Travis Hunter on the scene. I don't know.
Oh.
That's a different story.
He's a Jaguar, dog. No, just kidding. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're gonna be doing pick six. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster bringing you yet another week of pick six. I don't have the standings here right now. Oh wait, no, I do. Sorry. Excuse me. So let's look at it. Julian and Steve now tied at the top, as we're going to continue to do this throughout the rest of the year as well. So when we come back, it'll actually be playoff season, but we'll still give you – we'll probably pick those playoff games. It just won't be a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
But Julian and Steve both with 47 wins, myself in third place with 42, and the guest and Joey – at the bottom at 39. Joey, you gotta get out of that bottom spot, man.
Nah, dude, the slump over winter break when it gets Mickey Mouse is gonna be so special for me.
You had a calm little comeback, too.
I know, but I'm still five out. I'm gonna need a huge comeback in order to get back in this thing. But let's pick these games, as we'll start with the Packers and the Lions. What a game to start off week 14 of the NFL. It's crazy that we're at this point already. But Packers and Lions. Packers just continue to find ways to win. Jordan Love is playing amazing. That defense has been dominant. Jordan Love also finally got his chicken wing, or whatever it was, or the turkey leg, sorry. Oh. Finally got it because they denied it from him last year after winning. Meanwhile, the Lions, I think we can officially put them in the voodoo magic that the Chiefs have, because somehow Matt Eberflus forgot he had a timeout. But yeah. Either way, this is a great game to kick off the week. I'm super excited for this one that's going to start in about 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, I want to just keep saying the Lions got to lose at some point, but I just can't bet against them until it happens. This team is just so incredible on all aspects of the football, and just Jared Goff's going to have another big game for the Lions.
You know what? I'm going to go the exact opposite way. I'm going to go with the Packers in this
Ooh.
One. I don't know. I just have a feeling that tonight's going to be a shootout game, and Jordan Love, he hasn't really had that breakout game this year yet. This would be the type of game I think he's going to break out.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions. I'm sorry. I just can't deny what they're doing this year. It's so impressive. And they're just finding ways to win. They've played in so many close games down the stretch recently, and their only loss is to Tampa? Yeah, that's it. It's so impressive what they've been able to do. I still think they have the best roster in the National Football League. Jared Goff is awesome. This team is awesome. They're fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, if anything, I hope both teams lose. Right? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Falcons and Vikings, the return back to Minnesota for Kurt Cochane's and the Atlanta Falcons, who are struggling. That division has been so winnable for weeks, but somehow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have found their way back into that division race. The Falcons need a win so big, and the Vikings, they are on the doorstep of taking over the NFC North, as the Packers are too, but the Vikings just continue to find ways to win games as well. Kevin O'Connell, one of the favorites to win coach of the year this season. Who are we going with, Joey?
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins, I think, maybe had his worst game ever against the Chargers, yeah, where he threw four interceptions and just some ducks of throws. And I just not think that's the Kirk Cousins we are going to see against the rest of the season, especially against this Vikings team, which just continues to win games. And just the team, like, it's so competitive for the Falcons. I think they can get back in this to win the South. I'm going to roll with the Falcons.
In this one, I feel like it's going to be a game of whose weapons are better than the other teams. And I don't know. I feel like Justin Jefferson has not been quiet this year, but he hasn't really been that number
it's
one.
It's been a couple of weeks where he's struggled. Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like the Vikings are going to win this one because this is going to be another shootout game, I feel. I don't know.
Why do I feel like we pick the Falcons every week? I don't know what it is. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one. It's just, I do not like what I've seen out of the Falcons, and they should be so much better than they are, truly. Like, there are so many winnable games in there, and they've just kind of just thrown them away. And that's really nothing against this offense. I think the offense is fun. Bijan Robinson's awesome. Kirk Cousins, for the most part, has been good, but I don't know. There's just something different about this Vikings team. They kind of have the devil magic too, where they just continue to find ways to win games. I'm going to lean this way. I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one. All right. Next up, NFC West, Seahawks, Cardinals, a division that is up for grabs. And I don't think there's a bigger game for this division than this one, as the Cardinals continue to struggle of recent. Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison connections not working as well as they hoped for it. And Seahawks just continue to find ways to win games. Geno Smith and the boys are balling out in Seattle, and they look to be really, I think right now, I would say maybe the favorite to win this division based on how it's gone. This one's going to come down to the wire, and this one of the biggest games of the year for these two teams. Where are we going?
Yeah, I just love Geno Smith. That's got to be for real. It's just his story is awesome, and I always keep down the Seahawks. I'm like, oh, this is the worst team to have this record. Like, I just keep not being moved, and I just keep winning games. So it's like, at one point, like, do I learn my lesson? And it's not going to be this week. I'm going to roll with the Cardinals. I love the offense they have going on over there. I think they're going to keep building. And just this division, it's just kind of like the college football playoffs. Like, it's just going to be bound for some chaos. So I'm just going to keep rooting for chaos every week.
I feel like Marvin's going to have one of those I understand it now type of games. I think he's going to win. I think the Cardinals are going to win this one. And it's going to be a very close game, because last time they played, the Seahawks ended up sneaking away with that win. When it was a very low scoring game.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the Cardinals are going to stick away with this one.
It's so weird. Technically we're picking Seahawks Cardinals back to back, because last yeah. time we were on the show, we picked Seahawks Cardinals, and our only week, 13 coverage was the Thanksgiving games. Fine. So we're picking the Seahawks Cardinals again. And I kind of laugh because you said the same exact thing last time about Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
You know what else is crazy? The whole board picked the Cardinals, and Ben was the only one that picked the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm picking the Cardinals. So we're all going to go Cardinals. I would love to go with the Seahawks here, but I think this division is like, it's like the ACC right now. It's absolute chaos, and I don't know who can win this division between the Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks, because frankly, I don't think any of us expected any three of these teams to win the division this year based off who was in the championship last year with the 49ers, but I think the wheels have fallen off them, and they really have no chance at this point. I think the Cardinals being at home, I think Kyler really needs to step up after last week's performance against the Vikings. Yeah, I'm going to ride the Cardinals in this one, even though I have been enjoying watching the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the Chicago Bears as they take on the San Francisco 49ers, another team that is very much struggling. I don't think a team has been hit harder by injuries this year in the National Football League, as Christian McCaffrey is out for the year, and then their backup Jordan Mason also probably out for the year. It's been a rough season for San Francisco. Some of it's their own fault, while I would say the rest of it's been injuries. Meanwhile, the Bears, we just talked about them for 15 minutes. Don't have to spend much more time on them than that.
Yeah, this is the Kyle Shanahan Bowl, where if you can win this one, it's more likely you can pull off that trade. And it's just the 49ers, like, they got Ben Hootie and Joey LeMaster running back for the rest of the season.
Oh,
and like,
hey, do not disrespect Isaac Garrendo. He is going to be a solid pickup for fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, dude, those 6 points he's going to have are going to be like game-changing. Yeah, I know, like, I'd never learn my lesson, but, like, at some point, like, the Bears are not going to lose out the rest of the season. This is the game the Bears win. I'm rocking with the Bears.
What about the coach stat? The midseason coach firing stat that you gave at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, Eberflus, the only coach to be fired in the middle of the season.
Well, that, but when they fired Saleh, you were like, teams always win the next game. Something
I forgot
like that.
About that. Yeah, it literally worked the other day in soccer. I forgot who it was, but yeah, when it's a team's first game after a coach and they get the new coach in, they always win. And you guys are going to learn, and it's going to happen here. Chicago Bears, hammer it.
And that exact opposite team thing happens every single time that the Bears play. And I'm going to take the 49ers because I can never trust the Bears. Mm-hmm. And my pick six record is on the line with this game, too. So I'm going to be happy if the Bears win, but I'm going to be happy if the Niners win it for my pick six record.
The Jets should have won that game, man.
They should have.
It still makes me mad to this day.
I'm going for it, too. Let's do it again. Run it back. Nice dab up in the studio. Give me the Bears. I said I was going to pick against them for the rest of the year, but I hated what I've seen out of the 49ers. They have so many injuries. Nick Bosa might not play. That's a huge part of their game.
He would have loved to see
Caleb
Williams.
Give me the Bears. That Thomas Brown season. Let's go.
We're here. We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
We're back. Also, I just want, going back to like our conversation 10 minutes ago, isn't it funny how two Chicago coaches have gotten fired in the same week? Luke Richardson just got fired by the Blackhawks. Matt Eberflus.
Billy Donovan's next.
Yeah, Billy Donovan's next.
Fingers crossed.
All right, let's go next to the Monday night game, the Simpsons game, for all those watching on Disney Plus. Did you guys hear about that whole story?
I had no idea.
They're doing like a Simpsons stream, and when the Bengals started to like go downhill, and obviously the Cowboys have been in a downward spiral all season, everyone was like, flex the game. And they're ABC and ESPN and Disney were like, yeah, we can't flex it because we've already done too much graphic work for the Simpsons stream. They're playing a game in Springfield. All right, Bengals and Cowboys on Monday night. I mean, there's not much to say about this game. The Bengals are, I think they're searching for life for the future of their franchise over these next couple games. Who knows? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase might work their way out of town at some point. Mm. And the Cowboys managed to get a win on Thanksgiving in one of the games of all time.
No question.
Yeah, it's, I didn't know what I was watching, but you know what? It was a good nap time game. After that
Thanksgiving
dinner. All right, where are we going to this one? We could go anywhere.
Yeah, like, I really wanted to pick the Bengals because they just have the better players. But that defense is just so atrocious.
It is bad.
Like, they let the Steelers, who, like, I think are such an impressive team.
Not really good.
The Steelers can't ever score 44 points. I'm sorry, that just cannot happen. That's not their identity at all. This game's going to be closer than it is, but, like, I just can't pick Cooper Rush and Rico Dowdle. I just cannot do it. I'm going to rock with the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, if Joe Burrow loses to Cooper Rush, and I don't even know what he's going to say in that press conference. So I'm going to take the Bengals because their top-end talent is so much better, but their defense is so atrocious that I'm still scared for that pick.
Yeah, let's just sweep it. I got to go with the Bengals. This is a game they need to win. I mean, they're basically – they're still in the hunt technically, but there's no chance that they make the playoffs. It's been bad in Cincinnati, man. I feel really bad for them because that's a team with, like, championship aspirations. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest duos I think the game has ever seen in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They should share the offensive player of the year award this year. That's like the only thing they're gonna win this season. Mm-hmm. It's been a frustrating season for a Bengals fan. I feel for them, even though I'm a Bears fan. Alright, our pick six game of the week, picked by you on our Instagram at WZND on Instagram. It is an AFC West showdown on Sunday night. I would say one of the biggest games all year just because of the fact of how surprising the Chargers have been. Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, they just keep on winning. Who's got it better than us? Nobody for the LA Chargers. And meanwhile, the Chiefs, it has been one of the most insane seasons I've ever seen out of this team. Patrick Mahomes easily his worst year of his career. Yet they have one loss to their name this year. I couldn't believe what I was watching on that Black Friday football game. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? Like, the Raiders are literally setting themselves up to kick a game-winning field goal and a fumble, like, off the snap. It was, I was like, the Chiefs just, they just do it.
They just got the voodoo magic.
It's the voodoo magic.
But the voodoo magic goes away when Jim Harbaugh comes into the town. I'm making a statement. I'm rocking with the Chargers this week. They just continue to impress me, even with the losses. Like, they just keep looking well. And the Chiefs, they're not going to win out. Like, this team is just, I don't want to say too bad, because they do have championship aspirations and will likely make it there. But they're just not going in 16-1. I think this Chargers team's hot. They want to secure that wild card spot. I will be going bold. I'm going with the Chargers.
I had a smile on my face when the Raiders were about to win that game. Then it all went right away in like 5 seconds. So I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one, because I just know I can never bet against them.
Yeah, poor Braden Fogerson, man.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs too. I love what the Chargers have done. Jim Harbaugh has been electric. I mean, they just keep finding ways to win. That roster's not even that good. But the Chiefs, man, you can't deny them. They just continue to find ways to win games, and it's that voodoo magic.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, this is our last pick six red zone episode of the semester. Wow. Thank you so much for sticking with us across these last 15 weeks for me, Julian, Joey. We've had a pleasure doing it for you. We're going to take a couple weeks off, but when we come back, I think January 17th, if I'm not mistaken, is our first episode, 6 p.m. every single night. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on the Red Zone. We appreciate you all, and have a great holiday and happy new year.
You can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, have good fun.